Well, what an amazing sacrifice, isn't it? Jesus poured out his all for us, for you and for me. We've been talking a bit about Africa this morning, and I just picked up this testimony of a Rwandan lady. Some of you might have heard her story. Her name is Frida. One or two of you may even have read her book. But I'm just going to read this testimony because it is amazing. She is a Tutsi, and as you can remember, in 1994, there was the horrendous genocide there. And all Frida's family were murdered. Every single one of them, including me, she says, or so they thought. For weeks we were on the run with nowhere to go. Eventually we all returned to our home, and all of us were herded together into the centre of the village to await our death. We could choose how we were going to die. The quickest way was a bullet from a gun, but we were too poor to die that way. We had no money to buy the bullets that would kill us quickly. The killers had sharp, shiny machetes. I feared being cut down by this terrible weapon. I was only 14. I chose to die by being hit on the back of a head with a big bludgeon. I'd seen people die that way. Their heads split open, their brains come out, and they go unconscious very quickly. I had to watch my younger brothers plead for mercy, but they didn't get it. My grandfather was a good man. He taught us to repent of our sins, asking God for his mercy as our moment to die came. My mother was killed by a machete to her neck. The bludgeon came down on the back of my head. Blood was coming out of my mouth, and I went unconscious. A few minutes later, I regained some consciousness, and I realized I wasn't dead. They were finishing off the people with machetes. One made a deep gash in my leg, but I didn't make any noise or move, or they would cut my feet off. I was buried in a big, wet, and muddy grave, along with 15 other bodies of my family and friends. But 14 hours later, I was still alive in the grave. I don't know how that was possible. I felt a pressure from above. Someone was sitting on the grave. I summoned up all my strength and let out a sound. It must have been heard, for shortly afterwards, two boys of my age began to dig up the grave. One of those digging us up was one of the young killers of my family. They pulled me out. Some of the other Hutus wanted to finish me off, but they were in fear, thinking I must be a god for having escaped from such a grave. Again, I was on the run. One old lady risked her own life by hiding me in the middle of a pile of dried bean plants. They thrust their spears into the pile. The spears passed very close to my body on either side, but they didn't find me. Eventually, the genocide was over, and I was sent to a boarding school. I was in a terrible state. But there was a girl at the school who really knew Jesus. I wanted the peace she had. She told me what to do, and Jesus came into my life. Immediately, I had his peace, and things began to change. The hardest thing was when I read in the Bible that God wanted us to forgive other people. So I went to the jail, where those who had killed my family were now imprisoned. I saw the man who'd killed my father, but it was too much for me on that first visit, and I fled. I cried out to God for his help. I knew I couldn't forgive him by myself. And then I read how Jesus had asked Father God to forgive those who were killing him because they didn't know what they were doing. Then I was able to go back and forgave him and all the others too. But ever since that time, I've suffered continuously with very bad pain in the back of my head where I was hit with the bludgeon, and have never been able to go to sleep without having constant nightmares about those terrible days. Well, to cut a long story short, Frieda eventually ended up at LL, and she was prayed for, and the shock and trauma was lifted from her. And she says, I knew Jesus was doing something immediately, for the pain was going. 4 weeks have now passed, and this was way back in about 2006, I think, something like that. And I'm now rejoicing because all the pain in my head has gone, and I have no more nightmares. God has healed me. I could tell you many, many, many other stories like that, of people who have got to that point of forgiving, and God has met them. We had a lady who came on the very, very first healing retreat at LL Grange way back in 1987. And she it was who actually inspired us with this idea of writing out lists. And I hope you've got your pieces of paper there and you're thinking and you're jotting names down. This lady, her name was Pat, and she had arthritis. And it was so bad, it was in her back, and she walked with a couple of sticks, and the upper part of her body was encased in plastic just to support her. And she heard about this forgiveness message, and she got so angry. She said, how dare they tell me to forgive? She'd been deeply abused by many, many people through her life. Anyway, she stormed out of the building, and she went home to her daughter who lived in Lancaster. She said, I'm never going back to that place again. But she couldn't go to sleep. And eventually, at about midnight, she sat down up in her bed and she wrote out what she called her hate list. And she wrote the names of every single person who'd ever hurt her down on that list. She prayed through it, switched out the light, and went to sleep. The next morning, Pat was woken by the sound of the clock ticking. Well, that's something we hear every day, isn't it? However, when Pat had gone to sleep that night, she was 80% deaf in one ear and 100% deaf in the other. God had come in supernaturally and had healed her hearing. Naturally, she came back and she told the story of how her hearing had been healed. She'd actually just bought two new hearing aids, which were now redundant. But she didn't mind about that because she was so thrilled to be able to hear again. And she said, would it be all right if I had prayer for my back now? And she did. And she was healed. And she went outside, and we've got a grassy patch just outside the front door, and she turned a cartwheel on that grassy patch. She was healed big time. And from my knowledge, she's still walking in that healing, as is Frieda. And I know Frieda, she's a wonderful lady. She's now working as a nurse in the States. And God is faithful to his promises. But you know, we have our part to play as well. And actually there are four different aspects to healing. And if I could just have the picture up there. No, not that one. Thank you, that's the one. Right, okay. First of all, we need to seek God's forgiveness. That may be sort of something, yes, okay, of course we know that. I'm going to go into it a bit more. We need to forgive others. We also need... Oops, what's happened? Where's it gone? Right. We need to forgive ourselves. That can be quite a problem sometimes, can't it? Have you ever said, I can never forgive myself for what I've done, for what I've said? If you have, put yourself on that list. So we're going to pray about that. And finally, there may be an aspect of forgiving God. Why didn't God stop whatever it is from happening? Why didn't God intervene and prevent my sister from dying of cancer? my husband from walking off, my whatever. Well, I'll come into all of those in just a minute. But first of all, we just need to seek God's forgiveness. That's better, right? Pointing in the wrong direction, that's what it is. We need to seek God's forgiveness. Well, you know, yes, you do that in church, I'm sure, most Sundays. But a blanket sort of, oh God, we're all forgiven sinners, it won't do. We need to come to God, we need to confess our sins to him. We're not telling him anything that he doesn't already know. He knows everything about us. But what we're actually doing is agreeing with God on his verdict on our sin. And that verdict finds each and every one of us guilty. Just look at the first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Do we? 24/7? Not one of us. If we're honest, not one of us. So we're guilty straight away. You know, we all carry the seed of Adam within us. Adam committed the first sin of disobedience. It was the sin of pride, wasn't it? He thought he knew better than God. And that's the same with us. We think we know better than God. We think we can go our own way. We think we can do our own thing. We need to come and recognize that before God we are all guilty and that we all need his forgiveness. We all need to come in repentance. And you know what repentance means? Let's imagine this is my sin. And what I'm saying is, Father God, I am so sorry that this is what I've done. I'm now repenting, which means I'm turning my back on it. And I'm going to walk away from that sin, and with your help, I'm not going to do it anymore. And that means, you know, conscious effort. And hear me, I'm talking to myself as well. We need to walk away from that sin, and we need to focus again on our Lord Jesus. But we need to keep a short account with God, you know? And then it says in the scriptures too, in James chapter 5, in verse, I think it's 19, it says, confess your sins one to another, that you may be healed. You know, if you've got a sin tucked away down in here, something that makes you feel, oh, I can never tell this to anybody, Satan's got a real grip over you, you know. He loves things that are kept in the dark. God is a God of the light. And you know, sometimes what happens is that we confess our sin to God and we say, oh, Father God, please will you forgive me? And you know what it says in the scriptures? It says, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And he puts our sin as far as the east is from the west. And he says, I will remember it no more. In other words, he wipes the slate absolutely clean. So when we go back to God with that same old sin, and he says, oh God, you remember that sin? He says, no. He's forgotten it. So who is the one who keeps reminding us of our sin? It's the enemy, isn't it? So if we bring that sin out into the light and we share it with one other person that we can truly trust, they're not going to blether it around all, you know, and you hear it being talked back to you, but you need somebody that you can truly trust who will never pass that on. If you bring it out into the light, then when Satan comes back and says, guilty, guilty, you can say, I've been forgiven by God. And if he keeps reminding you of your past, you remind him of his future because he doesn't like it. But we need to come out into the light. There's another member of the ministry team at the Grange who's gone to be with the Lord now. But he used to say, you're as free as your darkest secret. It's a very wise saying if you think about it. You know, if you've got something hidden away down in there, you feel trapped by it, don't you? So we need to bring it out. And we need to take a serious attitude to sin. God does. We need to. You know, we need to deal with it. We need to be, we need to bring it before God, because this is what Jesus went to the cross for. We need to deal with it and we need to leave it behind. I once had a lady who came on a healing retreat and she asked me to pray for her. And she said she was suffering from premenstrual tension. And I just began to ask her a little bit about her lifestyle. And she began reeling off a whole string of sexual sin that she was involved with. So I said, well, do you think it's quite possible that you are suffering from premenstrual tension because of what you're doing? Oh, no, she said, I don't think so. No, God wouldn't treat me like that. Listen, God says, as you sow, so you will reap. And I pointed that out to the lady. She didn't believe me. So I did pray for her, but I have to say I didn't pray with very much faith. So we need to seek forgiveness from God. And don't just go around saying, I'm a forgiven sinner. Do you know hell is full of forgiven sinners? Did you realize that? When Jesus died on that cross, he paid the price for every single sin that ever has been committed and every single sin that ever will be committed. What we have to do is to appropriate that forgiveness for ourselves by coming to him and asking him to be Lord of our lives. We need to forgive others, as Frieda learned, as Pat learned. It's a huge, huge key to gaining that inner freedom. And, you know, some of the stories that we hear at the Grange, well, like Frieda's, are absolutely appalling. And we hear terrible stories of people who've been abused, little girls, little boys who've been abused from day one almost, all the way through their lives. And they say, how can I forgive? In human terms, we can't. But, you know, Jesus poured out that forgiveness on the cross. And many people have said that as they've asked God to give them that desire to forgive, it's as though Jesus has actually poured it into their hands so that they have then been able to pass it on to their, you know, say, I forgive, I release, I let go. Christine, would you mind just coming for a second? Come on this side of me. You see, what happens, if you just hold my hand, let's say Christine has done something that's really, really hurt me, and I'm not, she hasn't, she's lovely, but I'm not forgiving her. So it's as though wherever I go, I'm taking Christine with me, and wherever Christine goes, she's taking me with her, and we're sort of attached by this soul tie, spiritual tie. So when we actually forgive, what we're saying is, Father God, I choose. I don't feel like it, but I'm choosing to forgive Christine and I'm releasing her into the freedom of my forgiveness. Yes, now she reacted. That's it. Okay, thank you, Christine. Do you know, that's what happens. God can work. And we've had so many testimonies of people who, we had one in particular, one lady who, she forgave another lady in her church who'd been really unkind to her, very critical of her and so on and so forth. And she forgave her when she was on her healing retreat. She went home. She phoned us up a couple of days later. She said, you'd never guess what happened. I hadn't been home for more than a couple of hours when the phone rang. And it was this other lady. And she said, I'm so sorry for all the things that I've done to you. She didn't know what had gone on at the Grange. But God was able to work in her heart, and there was a reconciliation. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean that we pretend whatever it is didn't happen. It doesn't mean that we say, well, what you did was horrible, but it doesn't hurt me. It doesn't mean that we sort of pretend to forget about it and turn a blind eye. It does mean that we are letting go of the offence. And it does mean that we're letting go of our feelings of right to revenge. Do you know, when we feel that all that bitterness and all that anger and so on, It's as though we're going up into the throne room up in heaven, where God's sitting on his great throne. We're saying, excuse me, God, would you mind moving over for a little bit? I'm just going to sit down and judge these people. You see, we don't know what's going on in the other person's heart, do we? We don't know their hurt and their pain and the things that are happening to us. Now, God hates the sin, but we need to know that he loves the sinner. And every single person has free will choice. You do, I do. And God is never, ever going to step in and override our free will choice. So if someone unfortunately uses their free will choice to sin against us, God won't stop it. He'll hate it, but he won't stop it. In the same way that he doesn't stop us from sinning against other people. But he does ask us to let go. One of the things that struck me again when Helen read that parable that Jesus told this morning was that the king, when the servant went, owing all that money, went to the king was going to throw not just the man, but all his family. He was going to sell the lot, wasn't he? You see, our bitterness and our hatred doesn't just affect us. It affects the people around us. And when we're holding unforgiveness, that's what's going on inside, isn't it? You know, we've got all these feelings of revenge. That was Pat's problem. You know, she'd got all these feelings of hatred and revenge going on inside her, and that had caused her arthritis. Even doctors, you know, who don't have any spiritual understanding very often recognize that things of that nature, arthritis and so on, are caused by bitterness and hatred. So we need to learn to release and learn to let go. And you might say, well, how on earth can I do that? This person is, you know, maybe your mum who's been so bitter and who's been so controlling over you, or your dad who's maybe abused you or always put you down and been rude to you and horrible. How can I forgive them because they keep on doing it? Well, what did Jesus say to Peter? You know, not seven times. And that's an interesting number because in Jewish thought, seven was a number of completeness. So Peter must have thought, you know, seven, yeah, that's it, that's finished, that's done. And Jesus said, no, it's not. It's 70 times seven, which means you go on and on and on and on forgiving. Just two quick examples. There was one story that was told by Steve Chalk, a man, a Baptist minister, as you probably know. And he met two parents whose daughter had been killed by a hit-and-run driver. They knew who he was, and the father had gone round with his shotgun and had peppered this man with shot. And Steve Chalk said to him, how did you feel when you saw this man writhing around on the ground? He said, terrible, because I hadn't killed him. And then he looked at the wife, and he said, well, how would you have felt if your husband had actually killed that man? And she said, terrible, because I hadn't done it myself. Now, can you imagine how those two would be over the years if they kept that bitterness and that hatred? And by total contrast, I'm sure many of you will remember Diane Walker. Do you remember the lady in Liverpool, black lady whose lovely son, Anthony, was killed by two young thugs who drove an ice axe into his head for no other reason than he was a black boy. 20-year-old young Christian with all his life ahead of him. She was interviewed on the news, and I remember seeing this interview. And she was sitting there with tears pouring down her face. And she said, I'm absolutely devastated that my lovely son has gone. But she said, my heart goes out to those two young thugs. What sort of an upbringing must they have had to have done such a thing? And she had totally forgiven. She'd released all the hurt. Well, she was releasing it. But she had let go all the feelings of pain and hurt. And she was interviewed again not very long ago, and she said, I'm still released, I've let go. And one of those young men had written to her from prison and asked if he could meet her. She said, I'm not quite ready for that yet. But she said, I will do. She'd totally forgiven. So we need to release. You know, actually it's a command from Jesus. And in the Lord's Prayer, if you remember, it says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. See, if we don't forgive, we're withholding forgiveness from God. That's a bit scary, isn't it? We're walking in God's unforgiveness. And that's the one thing that Jesus picks up, isn't it, from that Lord's Prayer. He says, if you forgive, then your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you do not forgive, then neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Third aspect of forgiveness is we need to forgive ourselves. And you see, when you don't forgive yourself, you're holding yourself under a curse. And you're not able to move forward. So you need to release yourself. And you're saying, Jesus, I'm sorry, but what you did on the cross wasn't big enough for me. Would you please go back onto the cross and die all over again so that I can be forgiven? I'm sure we don't really mean that. But that's, you know, when Jesus died, he said, it is finished. Every sin has been covered by my blood. So we need to release ourselves from condemnation. And you know, some of us go around feeling so guilty all the time and trying to do things to cover up our guilt. No need. When we've confessed our sin, we're forgiven and it's done with. So rejoice and let it go. And finally, there's that aspect of maybe forgiving God. You know, why did my husband hit me, or, you know, whatever? Why didn't you stop me? Stop it happening. As I've said, God will never override another person's free will. So instead of blaming God for what somebody else has done to you, you need to blame the other fellow, don't you? Because it was him that put the bad idea into that person's mind, and that person chose to act on it and chose to sin against you. So we need to say, I'm sorry, God, I shouldn't have blamed you. I should have done something, you know, I should have blamed the other fella. I prayed with one lady whose husband had beaten her up quite a lot. And she was full of anger against God. She said, why didn't he stop it? Why didn't he stop it? And I explained to her that it was her husband's free will choice to do what he'd done. And so we began to pray. And we never, when we're praying for people, we never say, well, ask Jesus to come into the picture. Because sometimes that can be a bit nasty, you know, if it's let's say a woman who's been, or a little girl who's been abused by her dad, or a big brothers or whatever, she doesn't want the thought of Jesus standing there watching it. So, you know, we just say, let's pray about this particular situation. But as this lady was praying, she suddenly sort of went, ah! And I said, what's happened? And she said, well, I had this picture. And Jesus was standing right in front of me, and every blow that my husband gave on me was going into Jesus. And that he had done, that he had shown her. So she said, wow, I can let go now, because he knows what it was all about. And he experienced my pain and my shame too. And that's the great thing. Jesus knows. He knows everything. Everything. And he wants us to be free. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask you if you take your pieces of paper, and I'm going to give you a few minutes. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask you to write down the names. You may have done this before, but even if you have, who hurt you yesterday? Who said something to you last week, you know? We need to keep these accounts short, don't we? So anybody else needing a piece of paper? Or a pencil? And then we're going to pray over them. And I think too we'll also have a bit of confession time. We'll confess to God the things that we need to confess to him. So if there's anything that you feel you need to bring to God, we'll have a space for that as well. So what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. And first of all, I'm going to we'll pray about confession. I want to say, Father God, I'm just so sorry that I've sinned and that I've upset you. And then leave a little gap for you, and you know the things that you've done that you shouldn't have done, or that you haven't done that you should have done. So you just mention them to Father God. And then please forgive me. Okay. Yes, absolutely, yeah. If you feed on your bad thoughts, absolutely, yeah, yeah. So, Father God, will you pray as well? Father God, I'm so sorry that I have sinned. And I have hurt you. Please will you forgive me? I confess my sins now. And just take the time. Thank you that you are faithful and just. And when we confess our sins, you forgive us. Amen. Okay, now we're going to pray to forgive those who have hurt us. And it'll be a similar type of prayer. I'll leave a gap for you to fill in the names that you've written down on that list, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you for dying that I might be forgiven. By an act of my will, I now choose to forgive all those who have hurt me. Just say those names. I release each and every one of them into the freedom of my forgiveness. Amen. And now, if you feel that you've been holding yourself in unforgiveness, we'll pray about that too. Lord, I've been holding myself in unforgiveness. I now choose to forgive myself. I release all the guilt and the shame and accept your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then just finally, we'll say we're sorry that if we've blamed God, if that's been the case. Father God, I'm sorry that I've blamed you for the things that other people have done to me. I now choose to put the blame where it truly belongs, on Satan. And I ask for your forgiveness. Amen. Okay, now I'm going to light this candle, and in your own time, if you'd like just to come out and burn your pieces of paper and just put them in the bucket that we've got here. Let's just spend a minute in quiet, shall we? Father God, I know that this represents a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. And I would just ask that you come now very gently with the sword of your Spirit, and that you begin to sever every ungodly body, soul, and spirit tie between the people here and those that they have forgiven. Would you separate them out in the heavenlies, Father? And Lord, would you begin to bring your freedom into each life? And Father, where it's been so hard to forgive, and where it is so hard to forgive, just give us your grace that we will be able to go on forgiving and on forgiving and on forgiving. You don't ask us to do anything that you didn't do yourself. And you lived a life of constant forgiveness. We ask for your grace, Lord. We ask for your help. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry. That's what happens. We take our burdens to the cross. We leave them with Jesus, and he sets us free. But so often what we tend to do is we take them to the cross and we say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Then we pick them up. We carry them off again, don't we? But let's just finish by singing, I'm accepted, I'm forgiven. I suggest we stay sitting down for this. And just really make this a prayer and take it into your spirit. You are forgiven. We're loved by the true and living God, each and every one of us. And we need to learn to love others. Ask God to show you other people through his eyes. Okay.